Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today is Monday, August 8th. My name is Daniel.
I have to tell you something about
Field. I swear.
Every time.
I swear. It's been 2 days. Don't make me come over top of Mike.
Okay. I won't do that.
Is he helping out, though?
It's muscle memory.
It is muscle memory.
I'm used to it by now.
Intros are tough, though, getting everything set up. Maybe he's helping you out, just interrupting you and getting the flow of the show going.
Yeah, totally. One of the things that's
best. My last time, for the record.
We'll see about
until
that.
Until tomorrow.
Today's podcast is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you can say, guys, we're going to talk about a ton of stuff on today's show. We're going to talk about sleepers, busts, and breakouts. We're going to talk about some news. But first and foremost, I want to start here. Miller Lite Mike spent, I think, his entire weekend by the pool. Is that correct?
I did most of it.
There was a
pool party I went to at someone else's house.
You left your pool and went to another pool.
I did that.
And then came back to your pool.
In the neighborhood. Yes, exactly. We were in both pools.
Wow.
And then we had a parents' night out, too, which is awesome. I mean, Field, you'll get there someday where your kid gets a little older and they have you maybe go out, the parents you know, which is, it's nice.
Implying the most that I shocking have friends, thing, which is kind of
I'll tell you what the most shocking thing is when you do something like that is when you go out to dinner, the bill, you're like, there's what? Oh, it's almost half the price. However many kids you have, it's always like, that's really
date
cheap.
Date night goes from expensive early in a relationship to cheap later in a relationship. Right, how about that?
Something to look forward to, maybe. I don't know.
All right.
Big show coming up today.
Big show.
Sleepers, bust, breakouts, and more. And I want to make sure that people know when we get to each of these topics, we're going to dive into what each one is a little more specifically. You hear the term sleeper and bust and breakout all the time in fantasy. We're going to try to do a little bit more nuance to the conversation, Daniel. And I want to make sure that each one of us has a chance to defend our case.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on the bust, because as we know, when you pick a player as a bust, and that player does not bust, people let you know about it many times over.
Yes, they do. You can follow at Matthew Berry TMR if you want to send Field
TikTok.
Any hate requests there for his bust.
TikTok only, yeah.
Let's talk about some news.
Yeah, let's do it.
How about this? We got Kareem Hunt news. All right, Kareem Hunt right now requesting a trade, asking for a new contract. I'm not really sure what to make of this, Field, because Kareem Hunt is a guy that, where I'm drafting him right now, I think that I'm looking at him as far as somebody that I would use on my fantasy league as a flex play, maybe even a low-end RB2. Right now we're at a spot where, don't want to break it down yet, but how do you go about looking at this if you're drafting now with this news about Kareem Hunt?
I don't think you can do anything for the value of Kareem Hunt at this point, because the prevailing thought seems to be that he'll stay in Cleveland, so you're not going to boost his value for the possibility of him being traded. And by the way, his value would be in part determined by where he lands if he were traded, right? Mm-hmm. If he went somewhere like Atlanta. Houston, you'd be thinking to yourself, wow, like this guy could be a top 15 running back based off of his ability and his opportunity. If he went somewhere where there was still a crowd, but he got the contract that he wanted, it might be sort of where he is now. I think this has more to do with D'Ernest Johnson, though. That's the name that I'm thinking of this morning when I saw the reports over the weekend about Kareem Hunt's trade request. For those that don't recall D'Ernest Johnson, he was a good player for the Browns last year. He had exactly 100 rushing attempts. He had 531 rushing yards. And if you remember that Thursday night game, and I don't blame you if you forgot it, it was ugly. Browns versus the Broncos. He helped that team win. It was a night when it was Case Keenum starting for the Browns under center. And D'Ernest Johnson had couple touchdowns, over 100 rushing yards. He was really good. He's a very legitimate backup if Kareem Hunt gets traded, which now seems unlikely. But if it were to happen, D'Ernest Johnson might not equate to the same value as Kareem Hunt in fantasy, Mike. But we've seen it. This Browns backfield and this Browns offense can support two rock-solid fantasy plays. And I think D'Ernest Johnson would at least crawl near running back 30 in our preseason ranks.
Yeah, and to your point, there were three games Chubb was out last year and D'Ernest Johnson played a big role. He had at least 24 touches, 130 yards, and 20 fantasy points in all three games, right?
Really
so it wasn't like one big game, a couple okay ones. He was like Alex Mattison and then some, right? In terms of, so from an insurance standpoint, there's no doubt about it. He would have a lot of value. Not to mention this, and I think this is kind of overlooked a little bit because Kareem Hunt's missed a lot of time the last couple of years. Nick Chubb certainly missed a lot of time the last couple of years, but If you look at the games where they have played together, Chubb and Hunt, right? Kareem Hunt was RB11 in six full games last year with Chubb. The year before, he was RB13, right? So to your point, they have both been really productive in this offense. And I do worry a little bit about Hunt's ceiling, really the ceiling of both guys with sharing the backfield, two of the best backs in the NFL in the same backfield. It's you worry about the ceiling a little bit. So I'd almost be, you know, intrigued to see Hunt as a lead back somewhere else. But at the same time, again, he's been so good. They've just kind of defied the odds. Both of these guys makes me nervous as someone who's just following volume over efficiency, but they just keep getting it done. I mean, it's just great offensive line, two really good backs, and obviously a good offensive mind there with Kevin Stefanski.
We'll see where things end up here, but the league, I think, is starting to understand the value of running backs a little bit more by the years that go by. We did not see a massive contract handed out in unrestricted free agency this year. So if you're a team and you want to trade for Kareem Hunt, who is 26 years old right now, so not old, but for running backs, like, you could be on the starting point of your back nine of your career, you'd be trading for a guy who's not in his early 20s. You'd probably have to give up a reasonable draft pick, and you'd have to pay Kareem Hunt and probably a lot of money. I just don't know that a trade makes a lot of sense for any team that comes to mind. And those teams that don't have great backfield depth right now might be closer to rebuilding than they are ready to win.
So you're saying Kareem Hunt lead back for the Falcons this season?
We have now got him and Josh Jacobs and who There's else do we
couple
trade
wide receivers
to him?
Damian Harris, I think
Damian,
we have.
Damian Harris has been traded there as well. Yep, there we go.
That's a callback to last week. You have to go back and watch them episodes if you're just getting into fantasy football mode now.
Let's talk about the Lions. Hard Knocks, baby, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Here we go.
I am pumped.
Tomorrow night, let's go.
Make sure you go out and order HBO so that you can watch my Detroit Lions on Hard Knocks, because it is going to be a show, Dan Campbell. I'm so excited to watch this. But
me too.
As a part of it, Lions reporter Tim 20 Minutes talked about how DJ Chark has been really impressive all camp. Mm. And as somebody that DJ Chark signed a one-year deal, kind of a prove-it deal for the Lions to come in, obviously, they have Amon-Ra St. Brown there that is the number one wide receiver. And with Jameson Williams still rehabbing, DJ Chark has been able to get more run here. But there are so many wide receivers that I have ahead of DJ Chark at how deep that position is. Does this really move the needle for you from a fantasy perspective, Mike?
Not really. I mean, he's going in the 12th or 13th round anyway. So to your point, he's just a late round flyer if you want to go that direction. But I worry, early in the season, could he be a wide receiver three or a flex if things are going well? Absolutely, I think that's possible. But they didn't draft Jameson Williams just to chill out for the whole season. Now he's coming off the ACL. It's going to be a while before he's out there. Could be a month, 6 weeks, something like that. But when he's there, he's going to play, right? And you also have Amon-Ra St. Brown. And you have TJ Hockenson, right? And you have DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. So I think in an offense, don't expect to light it up offensively. Maybe Jared Goff got better, and they will. They have a good offensive line. They have all the pieces around him. I just don't know if there's enough there for Chark to get more than 4 to 6 targets a game. I don't know if that's going to be enough for consistent fantasy.
And not enough. Not all targets are created equally. DJ Chark is known for something primarily, which is his speed down the field. Four to six targets a game. Two or three of them are vertical shots. Jared Goff is a fine thrower down the field, but he's not Russell Wilson. And I just don't expect those targets to be the kind that generally yield like high efficiency results. So I'm with Mike here. Also, one last name to throw in the mix there, Jamal Williams, also a great pass catching running back. So the Lions have a lot of guys that are pretty solid amongst their skill group. So it could be that they're just too many mouths to feed.
And don't forget about Kutztown University's Craig Reynolds.
Let's go.
On the Detroit Lions roster, hoping he makes that 53-man roster. He was good last year. He looked pretty sharp in that backfield.
Khalif Raymond's birthday today. How are you celebrating that one, Dan?
Stop it. Is it seriously?
Yeah. From Holy Cross.
Okay.
Where my cousin goes, her boyfriend plays for the football team. It's a huge deal. Wow. I love it. I'm fired up. I got more Holy Cross knowledge than anybody else knows.
No, this is amazing. I love it. I just don't know how your brain has all of this useless information. I don't get it.
Ask my wife. She's like, are you good for anything?
No.
Not really.
You're like, she's like, can you do the dishes? Did you know Khalif Raymond with the Holy Cross?
You know, Khalif Raymond's sister, actually. All right. So let's talk about a couple of other wide receivers here. I think all these guys are going to be in the late round flyer conversation. But ESPN's DJ Bieniemy is talking about how Nico Collins has been looking like the clear number two wide receiver in Texans camp behind Brandon Cooks field. I don't know how pass heavy this offense is going to be or what role the number two passing option in this offense could look like, but Nico Collins for you as a late round flyer. What are your thoughts?
Really like the player. Super talented guy. Came out of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Huge. 6'3", 215 or 20 plus pounds. I remember being there at the Senior Bowl watching him, and he looked like the best receiver that was there that week during practice. Super smooth when he was on the field before he got a little bit banged up. So I like the player. I think Davis Mills is a legitimate quarterback that has a chance to sort of cement himself as a starter this year. Although, let's talk about that during the first draft podcast next year, if the Texans have a high pick. But still, I do like Davis Mills as a player. I thought he was solid last year. I think he kind of gets lost a little bit because he was the only starting quarterback amongst rookies that was taken in the third, not the first round. Concerns here are that I'm not totally convinced this offense is going to be particularly productive. I don't know how much things will change with Pep Hamilton as the OC, but if they are at all like last year, even in a season when the Texans were not very good, they were 18th in percentage of plays that were passing plays last year. Mm-hmm. You would think, like, if a team is 4-13, the good news is they're going to be the Blake Bortles Jaguars and throw it a ton. That was not the case last year. So while I do think Brandon Cooks will still have a rock solid season, I'm not totally convinced that this offense coming out of the gates will support two pass catchers.
Yep. Yeah, totally fair. I like Collins a lot. I think he's in a really good situation here and basically free in drafts right now. Mm-hmm. To your point, big vertical receiver, had the 12th highest average depth of target last season, but the fifth highest off target rate, right? Part of that was role. Part of it was just underwhelming quarterback play. So I'm intrigued. Just a big young player. Day two pick last year. There's a lot of reasons why this is the kind of player you would target late in your draft.
Heck yeah, especially with John Metchie, I know, receiver or a rookie this year, but mm-hmm. going to be out for the rest of the year now with an ACL. So potentially a few
illness. He's dealing with cancer. So we send our best to John Metchie, who's an awesome, awesome dude who's already overcome a lot in his football career. I have no doubt he'll come back stronger next season.
All right. The Athletics' Jeff Zrebeck reports that James Prochet had a strong start to camp and should be in line for, quote, significant opportunities this year. I want to ask a real quick question, guys. In a Lamar Jackson-led offense where Mark Andrews mm-hmm. is the number one and Rashad Bateman is the number two.
Got it. Glad you said that.
What does significant opportunities look like?
You want to take this one to start, Mike?
Three targets? I don't know. Like, okay, here's the thing. Check this out. This is really interesting.
I bet you and I have the same stat pulled up right now.
Maybe. So in 2019, right, so the Ravens are going to revert back to more of a run-heavy offense, right? That's no secret. We saw that in their personnel moves. It reports. Everybody knows this. 2019, Lamar Jackson had a huge breakout season, right? Went off as the number one fantasy quarterback. He had 37 passing touchdowns that season. The Ravens wide receivers were 30th in fantasy points as a group that season. They were 29th the next year. And last year they were 17th, actually, mid-pack. They threw it a lot more. Defense was beat up. They had to.
Right.
So there's just not a lot to go around in this pass offense. Prochet would not even be discussed on this podcast, even one time, if they kept Marquise Brown or they added another wide receiver, which they could still do.
Yeah,
well off the radar for me.
To put this, I'm going to make the same point as Mike, just put it a little bit differently. Here is the number three pass catcher, because I think we all believe that Mark Andrews will be the number one target again in this offense, and Rashad Bateman's the best bet to be the number two pass catcher in this offense. In 2019, it was Hayden Hurst. He had 30 catches for 349 yards and two touchdowns. In 2020, it was Willie Snead who broke out. He had 33 catches, 432 yards and three touchdowns. Last season, it was actually Rashad Bateman behind both Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews. He had 46 catches, 515 yards, and he fell into the end zone once. So you have to decide. If it's a number three pass catcher in the Bucs offense, you're in.
Yeah.
If it's number three pass catcher in the Ravens offense, it's near the bottom in terms of number three pass catchers that you would like.
And he might be fourth because Devin Duvernay's still there too. Sure. And he's probably ahead of him on the depth chart, right? Yeah. So he could be fourth. He could be fifth if J.K. Dobbins has a passing game role. So again, noise, as we like to call it. Noise.
Wow. All right. Let's get into the main topics of today's show. We're going to talk about sleepers, breakouts, and busts. We're going to dive in. I'm going to start with this. And Field, I know you want to add a few things here as we go along too, but sleepers, a player that we are targeting who's being overlooked and will outperform their average draft position in 2022. Most of the players that we're looking at right now are guys that are being drafted, not necessarily as starters in 10-team leagues, but we think that maybe they could work their way up there. Field, you and I actually share quarterback sleepers, so I'm going to lead off real quick. I'm going to let you jump in if you want, but we both have Derek Carr.
Currently
going as quarterback 14.
Yep. At the back end of the 12th round right now, 118.6 overall. So a couple of things to add, and Mike certainly do the same when you give us your sleeper as well. But like, it's hard to find a quarterback sleeper. The idea of a sleeper is usually like, who's a guy that I've never heard of that we should be drafting, right? Like Derek Carr got a 3-year, $121.5 million extension this offseason. Everybody knows Derek Carr.
And that was the second best thing to happen to him after Devontae Adams coming yes. over to the Raiders.
Is but this, to your is point. It's David Carr's brother?
Yeah, I think he actually okay, now gotcha. Finally is gonna out-earn David Carr because of the different rookie wage scales of being a first overall pick versus a second-round pick.
Wow. That's unreal.
But let's make the case for Derek Carr finishing inside the top 10, maybe even well inside the top 10, compared to his draft position of quarterback 14. Last year, he was a top five quarterback in terms of completions, attempts, and yards. He was 13th in touchdowns. He had just 23 passing touchdowns last year. You expect that number to go up, right? Yep. Through week 12 of last season, Derek Carr led the NFL in passing yards. Like, that's two-thirds of the way through the year. He was atop one of the important metrics. Now, I get it. There is not a player. There's not a lot of rushing upside here for Derek Carr. But he also had zero players last year. Zero. Who were in the top 20 of receiving yards on the roster. They added Devontae Adams. He is perhaps the best wide receiver in the NFL. If not the best, he's on the very short list for the best in the NFL. We're talking about Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfrow, and a healthy Darren Waller who played just 11 games last year, and many of those were when he was banged up. This division
yes.
is one of the best in the NFL.
The best.
It is the best in the NFL by far. Mm-hmm. If you go and look at Caesar's latest odds to win the Super Bowl this year, the Pro Football Championship of 2023, of the 8 teams that have the best odds to win, 3 of them are the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Chargers. He's going to have to throw a ton every single week. Last thing I'll say here is that I know that perhaps people are saying, well, Josh McDaniels, in his most recent run with the Patriots as their coordinator, they had a healthy dose of running game, and they always were near the top in terms of rushing touchdowns. Tom Brady from 2011 to 2017, that was probably the peak of the weapons during the second tenure with Josh McDaniels. He averaged 291 passing yards per game. Like, they were throwing it a ton with Tom Brady. I suspect they'll throw it a ton with Derek Carr.
I'm with you. I got nothing else to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll push back a little bit for two reasons. First of all, you mentioned he was top five in all the passing categories last year. Still was not a top 10 quarterback because rushing is so important. We talk about it all the time. He has 6 rushing touchdowns in 8 seasons. I don't think that's going to change, and I think it's going to hurt his ceiling. So that's number one. And number two is he has me blocked on Twitter.
Wow. Like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
So I'm not. What'd you say about him? I know why, because you're pushing back on the idea of him being a sleeper.
Right. I guess that's it. Must be. Wow. No, this is a long time ago. But there was so remember when he was like in the MVP conversation the 1 year, there was a lot of hype, like a pushback, like he's in the category with Aaron Rodgers, right? Is he elite? Like that debate. So people were in my mentions about that and I replied. So people started tagging him and he is famous for just blocking people immediately. Oh, wow. So I wasn't even anything I said necessarily, but I got blocked for it. So
dang.
Yeah. And I'm look, I like Derek Carr now. I mean, he's an underrated player. I say it all the time. I like him, but. You know, we have a little beef, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know how to describe the feeling, sure. But when you stumble upon someone whose account you either never checked before or like you've never heard of them before and you're like, you've been blocked by them. Mm. You're like, what happened along the way?
Right. I need to know this. Yeah.
Muffet McGraw. Like the legendary Notre Dame women's basketball coach. I think she had like a cool quote one time that people like retweeted or quote tweeted into my timeline. I go to chat. I'm like, oh, this, what is like, someone had tweeted like, quote, great quote. And I went to go check it out. Muffet McGraw had blocked me. And I was like,
wow,
I have nothing but respect for the run that you guys had during your time as the head coach. So if you're out there listening, Muffet, I would love it. If Coach McGraw, I would love it if he'd unblocked me.
I have a PI on retainer. Whenever I see something like that, I send them out to figure out what happened along the way. So they go out and investigate it for me. So I can give you his number if you
okay,
want.
Okay. That would be fantastic. Okay. All right, is it just Daniel?
We'll do that. Yeah.
All right, Mike, let's talk about your sleeper. Trevor Lawrence, we've heard you talk about him a whole bunch this offseason.
Yeah, and I have talked about him a lot. And here, I'm just going to go through the list. 2017, think about first-round quarterbacks who break out in year two. Carson Wentz, 2017. 2018, Patrick Mahomes. 2019, Lamar Jackson. 2020, Kyler Murray. Last year, Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts was second round. But anyway, Burrow makes the list. Every year, we do this, right? We have this elite prospect that comes in. They underwhelm a little as a rookie, I guess, with the exception of Kyler, who was pretty good in fantasy. And then awesome. they just go late in drafts every year. There's somebody like this. And Trevor Lawrence has all the tools. We saw the volume last year. We saw the strong finish against the Colts. He can add value with his legs. Much better system, coaching, pass first offense, major offensive upgrades. Like half of their offense is upgraded from last season. Wide receivers, Brandon Sheriff, you can go on and on. So he's going in the double-digit rounds. I mean, take a flyer on this guy. If it doesn't work out, you can cut him loose. It's not going to cost you much. If he does make that big leap, which the Jags expect him to, year two, first overall pick, it's going to be huge for fantasy. He could be an every week starter. He has that ceiling. He has an elite ceiling. So kind of a no-brainer, especially if you look at recent history of first-round quarterbacks.
You want to push back or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I posted my first TikTok ever one time, and Trevor Lawrence responded, and he was like, you use too much gel. So
I'm not going to lie, Field. I was talking to my mom over the weekend at Mama Dop, who watches the show. One of the things that they talked about in chat apparently on Friday was yours and my hair to product ratio.
Ooh, yeah.
And the way that I have a lot, like I'm kind of like those helicopters that fall from the tree where like if a tornado came around, like it would just grab my hair and spin me around like this, right? If a tornado came around, it would just plant you right into the side of a barn. But I think you'd be perfectly fine because your hair just wouldn't move. Yeah, I mean, it would just keep you
like
safe.
Like a lawnmower effect more for me. It just might just trim like a half an inch off.
Yeah, from that standpoint.
You should stay in the same spot
you've
that
thought
I
thought about this a lot.
I did think about it quite a bit. I also thought about AJ Dillon quite a bit as we move ahead to running back sleepers because I asked Rosie last night to pull up pictures of this man's thighs. I don't know how many times you ask. You ask your significant other to look at other men on the internet.
But she asked you to do the dishes, and you said,
I was like, you know
Google
what, babe?
AJ Dillon's thighs.
Do you know AJ Dillon? Do you know how big his thighs are? So we did that. Field, is that why AJ Dillon is one of your sleepers? Is because his thighs are just so huge?
Definitely a part of the equation. He's the mayor of Toon County, is AJ Dillon, which you have to respect that as well. But this is a guy who led the Packers in rushes and rushing yards last year, right? The workload is legitimate. Over his last 10 games, he had 159 total touches. He had 50 or more rushing yards in seven of those 10 games. He got involved in the passing game. I have no doubt that Aaron Jones will be the better pass-catching running back for the Packers this year. But the carries might go up for A.J. Dillon, A, because he's a really good player, and B, because they might need Aaron Jones to play more as a pass catcher this season, part of the reason why I am bullish on him. And he led the Packers in goal-to-go carries last season with 18. That's important, right? We like guys that get the opportunities near the goal line to score touchdowns. And I think there's actually way more meat on the bone this year. How about this? Since the start of 2020, Davante Adams has 12 touchdown catches from 5 yards or in. So some of them are five, some of them are 1 yard. Like, he is an elite goal line receiver if such a thing exists. Those 12 are more than any other player in the NFL. That element of their offense now is in Las Vegas. The Packers might just be slightly more run heavy at or near the goal line. And I think the best bet to get those goal line carries, or at least the majority of them, is AJ Dillon.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I do worry about the fact that he played a pretty big role last year. We just saw the graphic. He had around 180 carries last season. Played very well. Receiving efficiency was terrific. Still had 10 weeks where he was 30th or worse at running back, because Aaron Jones is there, and he's going to take a lot of that passing game work and a chunk of the carries, and he's going to, he have a 4-touchdown game last year, did Aaron Jones, right? He's very good as well. So I worry about his ceiling a little bit, but very great insurance back, and honestly, I saw what he did to that mascot a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to say anything too negative here. I don't want to get in this battle. I like AJ Dillon.
Yeah.
Also, he's 250 pounds and can catch the ball. So that's
I would say the last thing positive about last, just this from the start, but the last thing on running back sleepers is that, like, there aren't too many guys that are outside the top 30 of our rankings that were like, hey, this guy could explode, be an every down player, has a ton of receiving upside, plays behind a good offensive line, could rush for 1,200 yards. Like, that's not the sleeper in running backs, right? The running backs, we're talking about guys who are outside the top 30 that if they finish as like RB18 to RB22 this year would be a really good value. And AJ Dillon is RB32 in terms of ADP right now. He could finish as a top 20 back by season's end. It may be that there is a bit of an up and down nature to him because he plays in a two-man backfield, but I could also see it being a little steadier this year because I do think the Packers are going to be more run-oriented this season.
Mike, who you got?
Who do I have? I have no secret here. We talked about him last week, and I took flack from our old friend Matthew Berry on Twitter for this.
You're going
last
down this,
week.
Down this road again.
Yeah, I'm going with Miles Sanders here.
Not for your bust. For your, what do you have for your running back sleeper?
Yeah, so I'm taking it from all directions. Miles, come on, man. Come on. You got to do this for me this year. Look, he's been an effective back. We've talked about this. He's been top 15 in yards per carry all three seasons. It's not a coincidence. The Eagles led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last season. He is their lead back. And I feel like we'd have a different conversation if he had 5 or 6 touchdowns, which was his opportunity. You know, it's easy to say, well, Jalen Hurts takes all those carries, or Boston Scott does, or anyone else. But Sanders got them. You know, he just had some bad luck. We see this all the time. I've talked about this a million times. Sometimes people are just, it just goes that way. And the next year they bounce back. They go from zero touchdowns to 8 or 9 touchdowns. It happens. So he's still their number one back. I'm not overly intimidated by the secondary running backs. I think he will be the guy. And I think he gets back on track. I'm not saying like RB9, sure. But to your point, you know, if he finishes RB18, something like that, you're going to be happy with him as your RB2.
I'm going to throw another name out there. Chase Edmonds, right now going as running back 36. I want you to remember this. Last year, he played behind James Conner. James Conner scored 18 rushing touchdowns, and Chase Edmonds was still running back 26 on the season. Mm-hmm. Now he's in Miami. He's no longer behind James Conner. Raheem Mostert, who we've talked about being the touchdown guy, no offense to Raheem Mostert, but he's not James Conner touchdown-esque. So the idea that Chase Edmonds, while we're not sure what this role is going to be, we're not sure how he's going to be a pass catcher in this offense, he definitely is going to be, I believe, utilized more than he was last year. And I think that there's a much better chance that he finishes closer to running back 26 than he does running back 36 with all of those options.
Yeah, I mean, he's never had more than, 120 carries in a season. So I'm worried about his ceiling. But I agree with you for the simple reason that he's going so late in drafts.
I'm with you on the ceiling. I'm not drafting him for ceiling.
Exactly. So I agree with you. He's so cheap in drafts that I'm with you.
Yeah. I love it. All right, let's talk about some wide receiver sleepers. Mike, you want to start?
Yeah, Mike and I share a brain on this one.
Yeah, we do. We agree on this one. Drake London.
Yep.
For the Atlanta Falcons. First wide receiver picked. He was first on my rookie board going in at wide receiver going into the draft, and he's going to play a huge role. The guy's 6'4". He's going to be playing. He can play inside and out. He's going to be all over the field. It's going to be the Kyle Pitts show, and it's going to be the Drake London show in this offense. I know that they have quarterback concerns here. I get that, but if you're going to throw 25% of the passes to Pitts in London, it's going to be good. He looks good in training camp so far. Volume is king. Love the talent. Love everything about this. Well, everything but the quarterback situation, but I think they'll be okay. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. Yeah. Love the talent. Just kind of betting on talent here, and he's a little undervalued. We know the one last thing I'll add here is, and I won't go back into the, you know, the stat database, but because I talked about it last week, but you know, early first round wide receivers, they get a lot of volume, pretty much all of them, and they're usually successful in fantasy. I think that'll be the case here for London.
Yep, first wide receiver taken this year, Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year last year. He got hurt on Halloween and still managed to win the biggest offensive award in this conference. And, you know, the Pac-12 plays some good offense, that's for sure, too. Let me read you the Falcons wide receiver depth chart amongst guys not named Drake London. Brian Edwards, Olamide Zaccheaus, Damir Bird, Auden Tate, Geronimo Allison, and my deep, deep sleeper, Jared Bernhardt, former lacrosse player turned NFL future superstar. Matt Ryan averaged 33 attempts last season, passing attempts per game. Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder, certainly not Matt Ryan as passers, but still, I think the opportunity is going to be there. Again, Caesars has them with the lowest projected win total in the NFL. Throwing the football a lot should be part of their calculus.
Heck yeah. For my wide receiver sleeper, I'm going to talk about Alan Lazard. The idea that as wide receiver 40, you are so far down that list. You're getting Aaron Rodgers, number one wide receiver. Obviously, no Devontae Adams there. And I'm not scared of Sammy Watkins or Randall Cobb. I'm not all that worried about Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson because they're rookies. I mean, they just haven't had time to be able to develop with Aaron Rodgers from that standpoint. So you're telling me, and I understand, you know, we haven't seen it from Alan Lazard. He's coming into his fifth year. I would love to have seen more at this point. Yeah. But for anybody in that Packers offense, I'm going to take a shot on Aaron Rodgers, number one wide receiver. And I'm getting him, in the 11th round? The 11th round. So that's a guy that I can look at as an easy flex, late flex play and has so much more upside than I feel like where I'm drafting him at wide receiver 40.
I only have one pushback. And Mike, you can maybe split the tie here. Is that like he might be the Packers' number one wide receiver. Is he that good of a player? He's a six-round pick who's been fine in four years.
I don't think
years.
He has to be because, and I hear you, I think the upside might not be there. He might not be a guy that can be a top 12 wide receiver, but just based on volume with everything that he could be this year in the offense.
Yeah, I think he's solid.
I think he would just be a consistent guy.
Yeah, I think that's very much a fair concern, which is why we don't have him ranked top 20. Yes. Because if we knew he was a good player or a high pedigree player and he was Aaron Rodgers' number one receiver, we would be taking him maybe top 12. I mean, obviously that's where Adams was. I will say this, last year, Lazard, even with Adams there, and even Valdez-Scantling there, had 12 end zone targets. It was eighth most in the entire NFL. And you just talked about Adams and all those vacated targets near the goal line. I just think this is going to be right place, right time for Lazard. And he's going to end up as a top 30 receiver, maybe even higher than that. The guy, if you told me right now, you're from the future and you knew he scored 12 touchdowns this season, I'd be like, totally see it. I could totally see that.
That would be a massive sleeper then. Well done.
Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 35 probably.
He averaged 16.1 points per game in six games that he had six or more targets. With Devontae Adams gone, I'm imagining that he's going to have that kind of workload. But we'll see. All right, Field. Oh, no, it's me. I'm going to talk to you guys about our friends over at NerdWallet. When it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, or cornerback, even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make your smart financial decisions. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people who are as obsessed about personal finance as we are about fantasy sports. Let's say that you're looking for a new rewards credit card. You know what I mean? NerdWallet can help you find and compare cashback cards side by side. So that way you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. You can think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing them to top credit cards that work for you. So are you ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc. NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Oh, well, no.
Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even Mike Clay's pool. Ooh. Even help with homeowners insurance. Homeowners, condos, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
All right, guys, we're going to finish out the sleepers conversation here with some tight ends. And I think this one's a little bit shorter just because the tight end position is so heavy at the top. I think sleepers at tight end are sometimes difficult just because it's the positional scarcity. But Field, I'm going to start with you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll keep it really tight. Big Bob Tonyan plays for the Packers. A lot of targets vacated from Devontae Adams. A lot of touchdown equity vacated from Devontae Adams. He had a double-digit touchdown season just 2 years ago. Obviously, that's hard to sustain, but good red zone threat. Give me Big Bob.
Opportunity, yep.
Okay.
Mike?
Yeah, like I'm going Pat Freiermuth, who I think overshadowed a little last season because of Kyle Pitts, but Pat Freiermuth scored 151.7 fantasy points. That is the 10th most ever by a rookie tight end. Yeah. So very impressive. And he also spent a month behind Eric Ebron, too. So pretty nice season, very effective in the touchdown department and the efficiency department. So I know they have quarterback concerns. I think the volume will be there and the touchdowns will be there even for a tight end one season.
I'm going to take Cole Kmet. A guy that I think saw a lot of targets last year, expecting the next step from Justin Fields. And by the way, he was one of only two players in the NFL with 90 plus targets and zero touchdowns. That positive touchdown regression is going to come on hard this year with how many looks he's going to get in that passing game. I think that he is a nice sleeper there at tight end.
Agreed.
All right, let's talk about some breakouts here. And breakouts.
What?
A player, rookies included, who will rise up with career best numbers in 2022 and make a huge impact. Field Yates, I'm going to start with you talking about quarterbacks. Where are you going to go with your quarterback breakout here?
Yeah, so Joe Burrow was perhaps the fantasy MVP amongst quarterbacks last season. He finished with a blistering pace to the regular season, and that carried into the playoffs. So a lot of this is just banking on Joe Burrow, which seems like a good investment to make with your money, as it were. And Joe Burrow is not Tom Brady in experience or accolades. He's also not Tom Brady in terms of statuesqueness as a runner. So I think, though, that Joe Burrow can have some Tom Brady-like fantasy weeks this year in the sense that the Bengals have one of the best wide receiver trios in the NFL. Yeah. They've got an awesome pass-catching running back in Joe Mixon. The weapons are simply ridiculous here in Cincinnati. If he throws for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns this season, wouldn't surprise me. Maybe the weekly upside is not as great as weekly floor is not as great as others because of the lack of rushing, but there might be 200 rushing yards mixed in over the course of the year. I love Joe Burrow. How's that for my justification for Joe Burrow being a quarterback breakout this season?
Hashtag analytics.
Yeah, that's right. I like it. I went through all those stats to give you this. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because this is going to get awkward when we do busts later. So I'll just leave it there.
Uh-oh.
A little foreshadowing. So we'll leave it at that.
Burrow's Mike, who you got for your breakout?
Crap out of you on Twitter.
he's blocking me. Right. He's probably watching this.
He's definitely not watching this. No.
No, he's not. No. So mine is Trey Lance. As a guy that I think has substantial, I mean, talk about floor, the way he runs the ball, he has a pretty good floor and obviously a high ceiling as he enters his second season. Look, we saw him play significant snaps in three games last season. Two of those games, he had a pair of passing touchdowns, which again, you're expecting so much rushing production, but he had multiple passing touchdowns in two of those games and also had 161 rushing yards on 31 carries. That is an unbelievably high number. We don't expect that 10 carry per game pace necessarily, but he could have under 180-190 carries for sure. The guy is obviously raw at the NFL level, but it may not matter. He can be a below average quarterback overall and still be an elite, honestly, fantasy quarterback. And you know what the proof of that is? Jalen Hurts last season, right? He was outside the top 20 in pretty much all passing categories of 16 passing touchdowns, was number one in all the rushing categories, and was a mid-range quarterback one. So I think Lance is set up very well for a breakout. Oh, and Kyle Shanahan, pretty good coach. All of his offenses are good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence. Mike, I know you already talked about him in the sleeper conversation, so I don't want to go over a ton of thing all over again. But 8 games in which he had 5 or more rushes last year, on top of the way that he just got stronger towards the end of the season, became more consistent with his passing. I really like the idea of him being able to break out, in part because of all the stuff that you already said earlier in the
show.
Agreed,
sir. I like you.
Running back breakouts. Mike, we're going to start with you. Where you have Breece Hall as a breakout. Going with a rookie.
I am going with the rookie here. I think he's, again, they have Michael Carter in that Jets backfield. I get that. It's going to limit Breece to some extent, but he's going to be their lead rusher. You know, he's going to be their main goal linebacker. He can be involved in the passing game. I think this offense as a whole will be a little bit better. But I mentioned this stat last week. He has an NCAA record. He scored a touchdown 24 consecutive games to end his collegiate career. That is a record. He also had 93 catches in three FBS seasons. He runs a sub 4.440. There's just so much to like about this guy. He's in, as running backs go, an outstanding, borderline elite prospect if you look at his collegiate efficiency. Love him a lot. I think he makes a big leap in his first season in the NFL.
I'll go with Cam Akers, who has his first full season, we project, as a starting running back. Last week, we talked about Daryl Henderson because Sean McVay said, I view it like we have two starting running backs. Our friend Lawrence Jackson Jr., find him at Lord Don't Lose on Twitter, did some code breaking from when Sean McVay made previous comments to this effect, and they proved to be an outright lie.
Yes.
Sean McVay loves to commit to a single running back during a game. Cam Akers is a better player than Daryl Henderson. If he's healthy, he's going to be the guy. If you go back to the final 6 games, you include the playoffs during his rookie season, when he finally got a chance, he averaged well north of 20 carries per game and had multiple 100-plus yard games. He's just an awesome player and one of the best offenses in football, which should equate to some touchdown equity near the goal line too.
Yeah, probably one of the most underrated players consistently all through the fantasy offseason so far. I agree.
Just got to stay healthy. That's all we're looking for. My running back is going to be James Cook, right now going as running back 39. We talked about him a little bit earlier last week when we talked about the Bills. I think for me, it's the idea I'm drafting a running back at 40. The Bills have never had a running back, I don't believe, like James Cook, someone with his pass catching ability. They've never really utilized a guy like that. And I'm excited to be able to see, especially with Zach Moss, feels like no longer one of the main parts of that backfield. Him and Devin Singletary, I'm looking for James Cook to be able to take over and really become a big part of that passing game. And or if Devin Singletary gets hurt, James Cook is in line for a huge workload on an offense that's going to be awesome. So for me, I'm drafting a running back 40 in the 14th round, that based on what could happen on that team, I think he just has a lot of positive upside.
Yeah, the Bills, I mean, obviously on the cusp of a Super Bowl win, and they're very close. They were last year. They knew that going in the offseason. They made moves to get over the top. And one of the things they identified was we need a pass catching back. They tried to sign J.D. McKissick. It didn't work out. They drafted James Cook, who fits into that mold perfectly. And you're right. If Devin Singletary, who has not missed a game the last 2 seasons, which is very hard to do in the pros, it's going to be hard to project that again for a third straight season. If he misses time, you know, maybe Cook does get 12 carries and 6 targets a game. And is it on the RB1 radar, honestly, in this offense?
With 6 targets, I might like him as an RB1. Yeah.
Right.
I might be reading in a little bit too much, but the idea that the Bills went out specifically, tried to get J.D. McKissick, were spurned about J.D. McKissick, and then went out in the draft and drafted a running back so early that does that is like, I can't see a way that they don't try to use this guy's skill set.
Yeah, I mean, the only pushback to that would be that they're so good. They don't play from behind that often. Yeah. And designed running back passing game opportunities have been limited over the last 4 years. Maybe Ken Dorsey injects more of those because of James Cook, but that might be a move that pays off when you're playing against Kansas City in the playoffs more so than it does when you're playing against a regular season game in October when you're up 37-6 in the fourth quarter.
I just want James Cook to be utilized in that screen game, and I get Josh Allen coming out as a blocker at 6'6", 240 pounds. I mean, sweet, come on, man. All right, let's talk about some wide receiver breakouts. Speaking of the Buffalo Bills field, seems like everybody has just been on Gabe Davis this year. Still think there's a chance that Gabe Davis is a breakout candidate here.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes you got to grab the low-hanging fruit, right? There's 186 targets vacated from Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders being cut or departing, which we think Emmanuel Sanders is going to play somewhere else this year if he does play football. And then he scored 4 touchdowns in the playoff game. He won't do that very often, maybe not ever again in a single NFL game, but it's a reflection that he's very talented. He's big. He's going to be really tough to cover in the red zone. You play with Josh Allen. If you're the number 2 wide receiver, by default, you're going to have my attention. So I think Gabe Davis, if he finishes with, Mike was saying this about Alan Lazard earlier, if he finishes with 12 touchdowns this year, I'm not going to bat an eyelash. Agreed. So I think just because, again, I know everybody's been talking about him. I know everybody's had a take on Gabe Davis. Sometimes fantasy football is really complicated. Sometimes it's not. Super talented guy, played with one of the best quarterbacks in football, entering his third pro season when you expect a big leap just because of development. I love Gabe Davis this season.
Yeah, he had 35 touches last season, and he was 8th in the NFL in end zone targets.
It's absurd.
Crazy. It's just unreal.
Absurd.
I agree. I have him projected top 10, maybe borderline top 5 in touchdowns this season just because of that role in that offense. So I'm with you. Mine?
Yeah, please.
I'm going Jerry Jeudy. I don't know about you guys, but statistically speaking and on tape, I don't see much that concerns me with him as a player yet, right? I mean,
I thought he was okay last year.
Yeah, just okay.
I can't, you know, like build as this like ankle breaking route runner. Didn't see it as much last season, but then again, they were a disaster on offense. So
agreed. And at times you do see it though, right? I mean, you see that major playmaking ability.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know, keep in mind, there are some players that were drafted this year that are older than him. You know, he's still 23, very young player, but you look at even his usage, right? 21% career target share. Pretty good. It's a decent number. He'd like to be a little higher this year, but it's pretty good. He's a 54% catch rate, very low quarterback problems, a lot of off target throws. And he has 3 touchdowns on 167 career targets. He had no touchdowns last season. A lot of that is not his fault. It's just that offense was so bad the last couple of years. The quarterback play was so bad. That's not a problem anymore. You have Russell Wilson. I think that he will prove to be their number one receiver. And I love Cortland Sutton. Love him. I've had him on so many teams over the years. One of my favorite prospects, underrated players. I think Jeudy kind of takes control as the short and intermediate target, whereas you're going to have Sutton more of a vertical target. Both of them can survive in this or have success in this offense, but Judy's cheaper. He's going after Sutton right now. I'll take Jeudy.
I'll take someone cheaper than both you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm going to talk about Kadarius Toney. If you want to talk about breakouts right now, going as wide receiver 44 in the 12th round, right? But there are a couple things here that stand out to me. Brian Daboll coming over and hoping to look at opening that offense for the Giants, right? We're expecting hopefully a little bit more from Daniel Jones, but most importantly, when I watched Kadarius Toney last year when he was healthy and he had the ball in his hands, he was just freaking explosive. He just looked like a playmaker. And this is a guy, no offense to Kenny Galladay, because I watched a lot of Kenny Galladay as a Lions fan. The Giants have to find ways to put the ball in Kadarius Toney's hands. And I think this year, with the way they're going to have to run this offense, if they want to be successful, he's a guy at wide receiver 44 in the 12th round, another really late option that I think has an option to really take the next step and show us what he started to show us last year and hopefully put together a full season of it this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he just needs the ball a lot.
Just needs the ball
to come to fruition.
And I agree.
He's got to stay healthy. He's been banged up and, you know, not available enough over the first and during his first season.
Yeah, I mean, he was a first round pick last year, and the pushback on him was, well, he's going to be more of a gadget player. And that was not the case. I mean, he had, what, 4 games with double digit targets or 9 plus targets, something like that. They tried to manufacture a lot of touches for him, and he's very good with the ball in his hands. I'm with you. I agree. Definitely a potential big breakout this year.
Like it. All right, let's talk about some tight ends where, again, you two share the tight end here. Field, why don't you see how Mike did this last time? Why don't you take tight ends for you and Mike, where you have Kyle Pitts as your breakout? Can you break out
Yes,
based
you
on
can.
How well Kyle Pitts did last year.
Yes, because he had the same number of touchdowns as you, me, and Mike combined, except for that one game where he scored one. So, okay, yes, and I yes. just use the phrase low-hanging fruit when it comes to Gabe Davis. This fruit's already fallen from the tree here, right? We all know that Kyle Pitts is an absolute cyborg as an athlete. He plays in an offense that I don't even care who the quarterback is, whether it's Marcus Mariota for the full season or not. I mentioned this earlier. They're going to have to throw the football a ton. They're mm-hmm. not going to be very good this year, and there's simply no way that Kyle Pitts has one touchdown again this season. He had over 1,000 receiving yards last year, and there were plays where he looked like the best player on the field for either team. His receiving yardage should go even further above 1,000 yards than where it was last year. And even if he has like 5 touchdowns this year, which feels to me like a very modest amount, you'll see the improvement that is needed for him to break out in fantasy football terms.
Yep, I agree 100%. Number one in average depth of target as a rookie last season. He was top 6 in routes, targets, and fantasy points. And again, I can't stress this enough. As a 20-year-old rookie tight end, which is such a hard position, we've seen over the years, even the best tight ends in the NFL, it takes a while. Like, you might be age 25 before you really break out. He did that at age 20. Yeah. The guy is just on another level. There's a reason he went so early in the draft last year. I'm with you 100%. The only thing is, he's going early. It's tough. I mean, he's... third round to ADP. Yep. I mean, that it's a tough pill to swallow with the other values at that position, but he could easily pay it off. We could be talking about him this time next year as a first round pick in drafts and season long drafts
based on how he turns out. Yeah. My tight end breakout this year is Dalton Schultz. I'm going to be talking about Dalton Schultz had 11 games with 10 plus fantasy points last year. If I'm getting double digit fantasy points from my tight end position, and again, drafting Dalton Schultz in the 7th round, I'm thrilled with that. I think there's also more meat on that bone, especially with the fact that Michael Gallup and James Washington are both out to start the season. They're going to have to utilize him a lot in the passing game. So give me Dalton Schultz, a guy that I like as a breakout to take the next step this year in comparison to what he was last year.
So I kind of think the breakout was last year.
Yeah, agreed.
But that's okay.
Well, yeah, okay. How many, like, there's only so many like guys that you can talk about breaking out, but
Kyle Pitts. Let's talk about him again.
Okay, that's fair. I think Dalton Schultz broke out last year. I think he can break out even further this year.
All right, so you have him ranked out of Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews then?
I do not. I do think I have Dalton Schultz as tight end 6. I think there's a very good chance though he finishes ahead of either George Kittle or Darren Waller
I could definitely see that. Yep.
So
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm giving you a hard time,
agree.
Mike.
He's a mid-range tight end one, right?
Well,
I think we all agree.
That is
with
true.
Upside for a little more.
We should end the show on Debbie Downer mode and talk about busts. Let's do that in a second. But Mike, tell us about Miller Lite first.
I'm not going to tell you about that. I'm going to tell you about ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter first.
What I'm going to tell you about.
Sorry, I read the wrong script.
You know what, Field?
Sorry.
It's amazing the first time you discover something that really made an impact on your life. Like this ridiculous job Field and I have.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Field and I have. What? Where we get to hang out with buds like Damien and talk about football for a living.
Guys, I'm right here.
What if the same thing could happen to you with your job?
I would love it.
Do you have a job, Damien?
No, apparently not.
I know where you can go to find one. What if there's an awesome job out there that was made for you? Well, thanks to ZipRecruiter, that job is easier to find than you think. ZipRecruiter works for you. To make finding a job easier, like a personal recruiter, ZipRecruiter sends you jobs that are a great match for your skills and experience. They can also help you discover new job opportunities that are the right fit for you. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site by G2. Are you ready to find a new or better job? With ZipRecruiter, that job could be right around the corner. What job will ZipRecruiter help you discover? Find out at ZipRecruiter.com. Again, that's G2. Sorry, I was reading a magazine earlier.
Definitely. Summer is all about outdoor cookouts, meeting up with family, and determining the draft order of your fantasy football league. And you know what that means? Plenty of Miller time. The delicious taste of Miller Lite is what summer is all about, no matter what you're doing. And with just 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving, it's the perfect light beer to sip on all summer long, especially when you're poolside.
Oh, yeah.
In a world of endless scrolling through delivery options, you know what you're getting when you get a Miller Lite. It's beer. It's for those who actually want to taste their beer, because light beer should taste like beer, not like water. This summer, have more fun with Beer Lovers Light Beer, the great-tasting 96-calorie Miller Lite. There is literally nothing like that first sip of an ice-cold beer on a hot summer day. Well, other than maybe landing your first overall pick in your fantasy draft. But you get the idea. The whole point is, Miller time for me is whenever I'm around those that I care about and doing the things that I love the most. So next time you're getting ready to enjoy cold ones with your crew, go to MillerLite.com/FFF to find delivery options near you. That's MillerLite.com/FFF. Or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. All right, we're talking about quarterback busts now to end out the show.
Yeah.
Field, you and I have the same bust. And I'm just going to let you handle it if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. So we have Aaron Rodgers. And what? Let me be clear. Let me get out of the gates and say this. Aaron Rodgers is going to be really good this year. He is going to be totally fine if he is your starter. I am not suggesting that Aaron Rodgers, your starting quarterback, is going to be a problem.
Yes.
There are very, very, very few bad options in the top 10 for quarterbacks. Finding a bust in the top 10 is extremely difficult. Really, here is the case for why Aaron Rodgers could regress from the level that he was at for the past two seasons when he literally won NFL MVP. We all know the wide receiver question mark. Devontae Adams is gone. And while we are enthused by the hype surrounding Romeo Doubs and even Alan Lazard to a degree, and Sammy Watkins is back healthy and making a couple of plays, all of them are much more questions than answers at this point. It's just the way it works. Aaron Rodgers does not have massive rushing upside. He has under 200 rushing yards in the past three seasons. And over the past 3 years, he has just one quarterback sneak for a touchdown. Every other rushing touchdown has been a scramble. So you could make the case that, hey, he's good enough to scramble for rushing touchdowns. Or you could also say that quarterback rushing scramble touchdowns are a bit fluky when you're not Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or an elite athlete. This could be sort of like where they were a couple of years ago. Over the past two seasons, though, when he's been NFL MVP and throwing for like 40 touchdowns on average, they've been 12th and 13th in passing attempts. What if the efficiency drops just a little bit because you are not throwing to Devontae Adams 150 times over the course of the season? The answer is that maybe it looks more like 2018 and 2019 when Rodgers, on a points per game basis, because he did miss some time due to injury, was quarterback 9 and quarterback 13. This is not some hot take. I'm not trying to light the world on fire and say that Aaron Rodgers is going to stink. Just saying this might be a small step back, and he's not in the same tier as guys like Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts, who is discussed with last season.
Yeah, I think fantasy. I'm with you, Field. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to stink this year. Mike, who you got?
Yeah. Again, I've talked a lot about Rodgers. Somewhat disagree. I'm, you know, anyway.
It's so a hard way. You're talking about so busts. It's so hard.
He's back
to pick
in QB1. That's where I have him to. I'm just a little higher. I would not call him a bust, but nonetheless.
All right, who would you call a bust?
I would go with someone named Joe Burrow. My bust.
The guy that was in your Super Bowl last year. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Exactly. Tell us about that guy.
Okay.
Exactly. And again, I cannot stress this enough. Burrow's a great player, much like you were saying with Aaron Rodgers. Really, you're going to have another good season. Just not a good fantasy quarterback so far. He scored 47% of his fantasy points last season in three games.
Hilarious, yeah.
No other finishes higher than eighth on the season, right? And two of those games, by the way, the Ravens were done on defense. They had nothing left. He was just picking on their backups, basically, especially in the secondary. 118 rushing yards and two touchdowns last year. Could that increase maybe the second year after the ACL? Maybe. And if he gets up to 350 and four touchdowns, this looks silly, right? Also, one other thing I want to add quickly, his efficiency, especially if you look at something like yards per attempt, almost 9 per attempt, I mean, which is extremely high. And history shows, doesn't really matter. Actually, there's only one exception over the last decade who has managed to sustain a very high yards per attempt like that, and it was Aaron Rodgers one time. Everyone else, we're talking Rodgers other seasons, Brady, you name the quarterback, Mahomes, they all come down by about a full yard. So his efficiency is going to come down, even though that he has great targets and a better offensive line. I just don't think he's going to get where he's going in drafts. He's being basically QB5. I don't think he can get there.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have at quarterback 8 or 9 in my ranking. So I don't have him as quarterback 5. I've got him at quarterback 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. I'm just more optimistic than Mike. Let me move to the running backs. And I want to make something very clear. I am going to draft some of the players that I also have on my bust list.
Yep.
Here's an example. I'm going to draft James Conner, but let me again make the case for how James Conner is not the same player that he is currently being drafted as or was last season. Right now he's going as RB13, but more importantly, in the back end of the third round. Last year he was tied for 17th in the NFL in total carries, 27th in total rushing yards, 43rd in yards per carry, 47th in yards before first contact. And yet, he had 15 rushing touchdowns last season. That is more than he had in the prior 2 years combined by five. We know that sustaining the touchdown production is really difficult. The efficiency, I would argue, is more likely to sustain than the 15 rushing touchdowns. It's not a great offensive line. I think we can all agree on that. So I don't think he's going to offset his touchdown regression because he's going to start running for 5.5 yards per carry or something like that. He's never played a full season, that much we know. And he did have elite pass game usage late in the season last year when Chase Edmonds missed a total of 5 games. If that sustains, then I believe this will look silly and he will end up being maybe a value as RB13. The question I have, though, is did Arizona turn to James Conner as a much busier pass catcher by design or by necessity? Because their depth got tested at running back pretty significantly last year. And I just wonder if they're going to want a player with his injury track record and the fact that very few teams have workhorses to play quite as much as he did during those non-Chase Edmonds games.
Well, so Chase Edmonds was replaced this year by
Darrell Williams, Eno Benjamin.
Nothing you're too worried about.
Yeah, but also... There's no position in football where guys come out of nowhere and we're like, oh, wow, D'Ernest Johnson was the Browns' third string running back, and he's actually pretty good. So while I agree that there's not like a daunting threat right now to James Conner, those guys could also be fine, and we just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is Nick Chubb here. My concern here is just his ceiling, right? 55% of the carries and 5% of the targets in 17 games with a full go Kareem Hunt the last 2 seasons. Again, this guy continues to break math, basically, because he's just so unbelievably good. I'm chasing volume. The volume has been a concern for me. I don't think they're going to be quite as run heavy when they get Deshaun Watson back under center. So there's just enough concerns for me where he's going. I don't know if he's going to pay it off. Like Amar, non-PPR, though.
All right, let's talk some wide receivers. Close out the show. Mike, we'll start with you, actually. You've got Allen Robinson.
I do. And our ADP, which you might see, or we'll talk about, might be on the screen here, is a little lower than where he's going. You see there, wide receiver 33. That might be our consensus, but his ADP is about that. But this is more of an industry discussion, right? Because I think in the industry, he's like top 25. Some people taking him top 20. There's a lot of Robinson hype out there. And I'm just not quite convinced. I mean, look, he was very good the 2 years before last season, but the efficiency dropped, the production dropped badly last season. That was during a really good Darnell Mooney season, a really good Cole Kmet season. Yep. He's not the number one receiver anymore. And yes, I know he's with the Rams, but I worry about an age 29 receiver bouncing back after a season like that. That's my concern there.
The Rams gave him 3 years and $46.5 million. By the end of this year, it's either going to look like a massive steal or a massive overpay. I'm convinced of that, right? Because he's either going to be really good and exceed where he was last season, or he's going to be the same player he was, and we're going to be like, oh, maybe Allen Robinson just regressed because not every player ages the exact same timeline.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think my my wide receiver bust, a little spicier because of the name value here and where he's being drafted. Again, I'll draft this player at some point. I promise you that. It's DK Metcalf, who's going right now as wide receiver 18, top of the 6th round. So, last season, and Russell Wilson was not available for all of it, but last year there were just 7 games in which he scored over 15 fantasy points. Again, that was with Russell Wilson in 13 and a half of those games. In the games in which DK Metcalf did not score a touchdown, and we know that DK Metcalf is very good at scoring touchdowns, he averaged 8.82 points per game. Volume was not his friend, as he had 0 games with 7 or more catches last year. He had just 1 game with 100 yards. Again, this is with 13.5 games of Russell Wilson. His quarterback this year is, as of right now, going to be Geno Smith or Drew Lock. Geno Smith, in 3 games last year, averaged 190 passing yards as a starter, 4 total passing touchdowns. He has 34 career starts. He has 3 300-yard games and 2 three-touchdown games. Drew Lock has 21 career starts. He has 2 300-yard games and 2 three-touchdown games. This passing offense is taking a big step back this year. I think we can all admit that. And over the past 2 seasons, if you are looking at teams in the bottom 8 of total offense, there have just been 2 wide receivers that have finished inside the top 20. By the way, it was last year, Brandon Cooks and DJ Moore, who are wide receiver 18 and 19. He needs a lot of things to go right to pay off in value, in my opinion.
I think he needs Jimmy Garoppolo to land on the Seattle roster. I hope so, because we love Tyler Lockett, who's 29. He's a little older. DK, we want to. He's just so good. He's big, he's superhuman. I want them to get Jimmy Garoppolo because we know he can get his receivers the football, right? That's what we want. So I hope that happens to bail these guys out.
The very obvious counterpoint to my take right there is this. DK Metcalf rules.
Yes.
This guy is awesome. He's one of the best players in the league. He's one of the most explosive receivers I've ever seen. He just got 3 years and $24 million per year, and he's worth every last penny of it. That's the counterpoint. It's just the quarterback's really concerning.
I actually made the mistake once of asking Rosie to look up shirtless photos of DK Metcalf and AJ Brown standing next to each other. I don't know why I keep doing this myself. I don't know, but I mean,
AJ Dillon's thighs and
just say Dillon.
I'd be like, hey babe, why don't you go out and check out Runner Renfro? Let's just look at Hunter Renfro for a little while, just to make me feel a little bit better about myself. All right, my last one. I'm going to keep this really quick. Amari Cooper. I feel like you don't have to say a whole lot about this, but he had last year the lowest catch rate of his Cowboys career last year. Now he moves to a team with even more question marks at quarterback. Not sure what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And even with that, like Mike, I believe you said this, never finished inside the top 10, never finished outside the top 30. And with Jacoby Brissett under center for at least 6 games, as far as I know now, Amari Cooper is just not a guy that I am targeting in that range. I'd rather have a bunch of the other wide receivers that are around him based on that situation.
I think he'll plummet because I think the Deshaun Watson news will probably wind up being many more than 6 games.
Yeah. Yep. So it's tough for me there. That's going to do it for us today, though, guys. This is a big show.
I hope people listen thoughtfully to these sleeper, bust, breakout picks. And I'm not that we don't prepare for every show, but like this weekend was a deeper dive in Monday prep because you don't want to do a disservice to people by just throwing a scorching hot take out there to generate heat and interest.
Exactly.
Like, we're doing it because we're trying to throw a little bit of a warning sign up. But just to reiterate, I'm going to draft every single one of the players that have my bus category in some league. And some of the guys that we all love aren't going to wind up cashing in like we hope them to.
And I'm going to draft basically everyone that we're going to talk about tomorrow from the Chiefs and Raiders as a part of Double Trouble. Sign me up from all of those offenses.
It's going to be
a really fun show. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. My name is Daniel Dopp. He's Field Yates. This is Mike Clay. We'll be back tomorrow at 11.
No secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.